From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. For the first time in 2 years, the Juneau Filipino community, known as PhilCom, is having its annual Christmas party. It's the organization's first since the start of the COVID-19 pandemic. The party traditionally includes a mixture of American and Filipino food, Christmas carols followed by games, and presents for the kids. And there's usually a door prize.
After all that, it's usually dancing. A lot of the elders like to do their cha-cha dancing or their line dancing and that kind of stuff.
Rachel Carrillo-Barrill is on the PhilCom board and has been going to the parties since she was little. She says the party is PhilCom's next step towards re-engaging the Juneau community after the long absence of in-person events during the pandemic.
We're hoping that this event will just bring back interest into the community and we could start getting people comfortable with participating in the meetings and providing other services and programs.
The party is this Saturday, beginning at 5 p.m. at the Filipino Community Hall downtown. There's no entrance fee, and everyone in the Juneau community is welcome to attend. As winter turns to more winter, the brown bears of the northern panhandle turn into den and lay in torpor until the spring. KHNS's Alan Desprez-Menil caught up with Alaska Fish and Game research biologist Anthony Krupe to hear what has been learned about the process.
25 bears are currently tagged in his study of the northern Lynn Canal brown bear population. As of last week, two of them were still fishing on the Chilkat River. The transmitter signal from all the others indicates that they are at higher altitude. This means they have settled into their dens, or are about to. On average, in the Upper Lynn Canal, half of the bears will have gone to den by Thanksgivings. Every year around this time, each bear has to make a calculation familiar to many human fishmongers. Here is Krupe.
They're weighing this balance of, am I taking in more energy than it is to stay warm in this cold weather? Or is it smarter for me to kind of shut everything down and go into a winter hibernacula and be able to conserve that energy that they've stored?
Their decision will depend on the weather, how good the fishing is, and how much fat they have already accumulated. Once they are ready, bears leave the river and head for the mountains. The average altitude of dens in this region is just under 2,500 feet. The bears will look for a site that will accumulate enough snow for maximum thermal insulation on a sufficient slope so as to drain well. A den can become quite humid, with mushrooms finding a proper growth environment. If the moisture becomes too much, the den will collapse, forcing the bear to dig another one to finish the winter. The most common type of den in the Upper Lynn Canal is an excavation in the soil on the side of the mountain. Very often, the bears will start to dig under vegetation, the roots serving to reinforce the structure of the den's roof. Sometimes they will dig under a boulder, which will then act like the header over a door. Some dens are rock caves. Those will be used year after year, generation after generation, and the inside appears polished by the repeated rubbing of the fur against the walls. The bears will build a nest in those rock caves using blueberry branches, duff from decayed trees, willow boughs, or sand when near shore. Some bears in more coastal climates have been known to simply build a nest on the ground and let falling snow cover them with its insulative protection. One thing seems to be consistent, according to Krupe's observations.
And one thing that is really neat with all the dens that we've gone and visited so far is it's almost always in a place where they have a spectacular view of the watershed below them.
Once comfortably installed, the bears settle into a torpor that will see their body temperature drop 10 to 12 degrees Fahrenheit, their heart rate drop 20 to 40%, and their metabolism slow to less than half its active rate. They will also stop defecating or urinating. They will spend the next 5 to 6 months in this state. Krupe says he once tracked a 3-year-old female who went in mid-October and emerged in mid-June, spending a full 8 months underground. And in the middle of it all,
In January is when females will have their cubs in the den, and then come late April, would come out of the den. The cubs are going to be very immobile, so not really able to move that much. So one thing that's common in females that have cubs in the springtime is they spend a lot of time just on the outside of their den before the things green up where they can start to eat vegetation. They are really limited by how far that they can take these smaller cubs.
Over the winter, a bear will lose a quarter to a half of his body mass. But because their accumulated fat gets recycled into their muscles, bears are able to emerge from the dens with enough strength to begin the next seasonal feeding cycle. Most of the excavated dens will be abandoned and will collapse from excessive moisture. There is no indication that other animals move in and use the cavity. This thorough knowledge of denning behavior allowed Krupe to draw a map of critical denning areas that is surprisingly detailed and useful in making predictions. This can be used to make management recommendations to regulate the timber, heli-skiing, and commercial flight industries. Suggestions include prescribed flight paths and predictable routes, and minimum approach distances and altitudes. Disrupting a bear's torpor imposes a high energetic cost. A lot of work goes into that sleep. You can find a link to Anthony Krupe's hour-long presentation of the research on our website. Reporting for KHNS in Haines, I'm Alan DePriminil.
Anchorage spent much of yesterday digging out for more than a foot of wet and heavy snow. The storm closed Anchorage and Matsu schools, slowed traffic, and, according to the Department of Transportation spokesman Justin Shelby, sent road crews scrambling.
So this is the heaviest snowfall the Anchorage area has seen in over 20 years. Our crews are keeping up as best they can.
The storm started Tuesday afternoon and continued into Wednesday. Police reported nearly 150 cars had slid or gotten stuck on icy, snowy roads in the Anchorage area by midday. Just 4 accidents were reported and none with injuries. The University of Alaska Anchorage and Alaska Pacific University also closed for the day. Michael Coots with the National Weather Service said its West Anchorage office saw nearly a foot of snow since midnight Tuesday, with 17 inches of overall snow depth. Other areas saw even more snow. The snow will give way to wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour by the weekend, Coots says, with falling temperatures reaching zero by tonight.
Friday night will be the coldest of the bunch, and that's looking at basically about minus right near zero on the west side. Maybe a little bit of low in some locations, and probably like 10 degrees below zero for the east side.
The wind gusts may be higher in areas like mountain passes. As cold weather takes hold in Alaska, more people are turning to emergency homeless shelters to stay warm. Tuesday on Talk of Alaska, officials with support organizations for people experiencing homelessness discussed the challenges in funding those emergency shelters. Meg Zalatel, an Anchorage Assembly member and executive director of the Anchorage Coalition to End Homelessness, said one of the challenges in funding and providing support is the tug and pull between short-term shelter and long-term housing.
There's that tension between the emergency safety net and the longer-term investment. The solution to homelessness is housing. So if we're intending to solve homelessness, we have to make investments in housing. And we need to maintain a safety net to keep people alive and well in the meantime.
In Bethel, there's only one low-barrier emergency shelter for folks to go when the weather turns cold, the Bethel Winter House. Eileen Arnold, executive director of the Tundra Women's Coalition, is a member of the finance committee for the Winter House. She said that the shelter is looking at a budget shortfall this year, in part because funding for homelessness around the state focused so much on long-term solutions.
In the meantime, we need to fund our safety net. And there hasn't been an increase, I believe, in that safety net for homelessness in the state of Alaska for quite some time. And I think that there needs to be, because even once permanent supportive housing is built, people are still going to need to access the Bethel Winter House.
Arnold says a 24-unit supportive housing project for Bethel Winter House is expected to be completed in 2024. And with it, they'll have access to more funding intended for long-term housing solutions. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Kremery. This is KTOL.